You've probably seen images from the James Webb Space Telescope, those intricate portraits of deep space that spark our imagination. But here on Earth, a new ground-based observatory has started capturing images that are every bit as extraordinary. If you watched my video in 2020 about the most exciting telescope that nobody was talking about, then you may remember just how thrilled I am about the Vera C. Rubin Observatory. Perched atop the Cerro Pachón mountain in Chile, this observatory just captured its first ever images with the help from the largest digital camera ever built. This camera, roughly the size of a small car and weighing around 2,800 kilograms, boasts an astonishing 3.2 billion pixels per image. To put that in perspective, it would take you about 385 4K televisions to display just one of the photos from this telescope. That is a staggering amount of data. In fact, the survey can collect around 20 terabytes of data in a single night. Since the observatory is located in Chile and the data center is in the United States, a dedicated 100 gigabit internet connection was built to connect the facility to Miami, Florida, where it taps into the existing infrastructure. The first official images were released in June 2025, and in my opinion, they're among the most breathtaking astronomical images I've ever seen. And this is just the beginning. So what did these first images show us? How were they taken? And what will astronomers be hoping to learn from this ambitious project in the years ahead? I'm Alex McColgan, and you're watching Astrum. Join me today as we unveil these stunning images and explore how this groundbreaking observatory could transform our view of the universe. Although some operations have begun, final testing is expected to wrap up by late 2025. And just as this facility is destined to become a legend in modern astronomy, it carries the name of a woman who was a legend in her own right. In the 1960s, when women were rarely seen in astronomy, Dr. Rubin was credited with discovering the first compelling evidence for the existence of dark matter. And she did so while balancing both her career and motherhood. It's fitting that such a pioneering observatory bears the name of an equally pioneering astronomer. And, like its namesake, the Rubin Observatory will not disappoint. Part of what makes images so crisp from space telescopes like Hubble and Webb is their vantage point from outside of Earth's atmosphere. From space, they are able to avoid the distortion of weather and light pollution, issues that typically plague ground-based telescopes. That's exactly why the Rubin Observatory was built on a mountain in the Atacama Desert of Chile, giving it one of the best observing locations anywhere on Earth. Its extremely dry air and dark skies make for the perfect conditions for ground-based astronomy. And the new observatory isn't alone. The area is also home to several other observatories, including the Southern Astrophysical Research Telescope, the Gemini South Observatory, the Giant Magellan Telescope, and the European Extremely Large Telescope. This location has proven itself time and again as an exceptional observing spot. Interestingly, the Rubin Observatory isn't run by a major space agency like NASA or ESO. Instead, it's funded by the United States National Science Foundation and Department of Energy, and is managed by the Association of Universities for Research in Astronomy. Inside the Rubin Observatory is the Simonyi Survey Telescope, which became the seventh largest telescope in the world when it was completed. Its primary mirror spans 8.4 meters, with a 3.5 meter secondary mirror. But size isn't everything. What makes it truly unique is its third 5 meter mirror. Most telescopes use a two-mirror system to focus light and correct optical distortions that can come from the curve of the mirror, but the Simonyi Survey Telescope uses three, giving it an extraordinarily sharp view. Attached to the end of this powerful telescope is an equally impressive camera to record what the telescope sees. It's the largest camera ever constructed, measuring about 3 meters long and 1.6 meters wide. Designed to capture ultraviolet, visible, and near-infrared light, it uses a robotic arm to place filters in front of its sensors. Named after the Legacy Survey of Space and Time, or the LSST, the camera will support this decade-long sky survey. The LSST camera is made up of 189 individual sensors and outfitted with 3 large fused silica lenses. Each exposure covers 10 square degrees of the sky, giving it superb optical performance. That is quite a wide angle of visibility. One single image can capture an area of the sky equal to about 45 full moons. If you compare these stats to previous surveys like the Sloan Digital Sky Survey, the LSST is essentially doing every 3 days what SDSS took 20 years to do. SDSS steadily built up a map covering 35% of the sky over its 20-year run, but the LSST can map the entire visible sky in the Southern Hemisphere, or 50%, with every 3-day scan. The 10-year duration of the LSST is not strictly to cover a wider area of the sky, but to map our cosmos in a temporal dimension, building up a searchable time-lapse movie of the changing sky and tracking its changes over time like never before. Like any sky survey, the LSST is meant to look for anything and everything in the night sky. However, it does have 4 main scientific goals: to investigate dark matter and dark energy, to catalogue solar system objects like asteroids and comets, to monitor transient events like supernovae, variable stars, and gamma ray bursts, and to map the stars of the Milky Way. Surveys like Gaia, Pan-STARRS, DESI, and Sloan paved the way, but Rubin will take things further. For example, it's expected that data from Rubin will allow us to identify millions of new asteroids, vastly expanding our catalogue and creating a dataset unlike anything we've ever had before. Luckily for us, we won't have to wait 10 years to see what this new observatory has in store. The LSST team will release images throughout the project, letting the world follow along as discoveries unfold. As mentioned earlier, the first of these images were released just in June 2025, and I think you're going to love them. After just over 10 hours of test observations, the Rubin Observatory had already captured cosmic phenomena on an unprecedented scale. Millions of stars and galaxies, thousands of asteroids, and these images represent just a small preview of what's to come. What you are now seeing is one of the first images ever released by the Rubin Observatory, dubbed the Cosmic Treasure Chest. Made up of 1,185 exposures taken over 7 nights, it shows a region in the southern Virgo cluster, about 55 million light-years away. It's the closest large cluster of galaxies to our own. This 25 square degree mosaic reveals an astonishing variety of stars and galaxies. It combines multiple exposures of the same area, each taken at different times and with different filters, to reveal faint details that may otherwise go unseen. Let's zoom in to a few highlights. In the upper left, 2 prominent spiral galaxies dominate the view, with a trio of merging galaxies just above them. Threads of material stretch between them, and both nearby and distant galaxy groups populate the scene, along with a few foreground stars from our own Milky Way. On the opposite side of the image is an extraordinarily dynamic area nicknamed Cosmic Drama. Here, bright stars from our galaxy shine in the foreground, with dozens of nearby galaxies clearly visible, and a distant sea of reddish galaxies forming a speckled backdrop. This image contains some 10 million galaxies, and that represents just 0.05% of the 20 billion galaxies that the Rubin Observatory is set to observe over the next decade. Another early image is this striking mosaic of two nebulae taken over just 7 hours and made up of 678 individual images. In a single exposure, the dust and clouds that make up these nebulae may be faint or invisible, but by combining hundreds of exposures, these details become clearer. At the center of the mosaic is the Lagoon Nebula, or Messier 8, situated about 5,200 light-years from Earth. This kidney bean-shaped pink area is one of only a few star-forming nebulae that are visible with the naked eye, although faintly in mid-northern latitudes. If you were to look at this nebula through a telescope or binoculars, you would see what looks like a spot of grayscale clouds. This is because the human eye can only detect certain wavelengths of light, but the Rubin Observatory is able to capture a broader range. These additional wavelengths can be added into the picture as different colors. For example, in this image, the infrared light typically associated with cooler objects is assigned the color red, while the warmer ultraviolet wavelengths are assigned to blue. For comparison, here is an optical image of the same Lagoon Nebula taken by NASA's Hubble Space Telescope in 2018. As you can see, the Hubble image is rich in detail, and similarly, uses various added colors to represent information that the human eye can't see on its own. In this case, the colors represent different particles detected across the image. You might also notice that this Hubble image is very close up. It's only about 4 light-years across. However, the Rubin Observatory gives a much wider view of the Lagoon Nebula. In fact, the difference is shocking. The Lagoon Nebula is a staggering 55 light-years across and 20 light-years tall, yet takes up only a fraction of the Rubin image. Why is there such a difference? Well, Hubble is designed to focus on individual objects. With its 2.4-meter primary mirror, it can capture 16.8 megapixel images of individual objects, but the Rubin Observatory's 8.4-meter primary mirror and 3.2 billion megapixel camera were built to photograph gigantic sections of the sky in exceptional detail. Hubble's field of view is able to see the equivalent of about 1% of our moon's surface area in a single image. But Rubin has a field of view wide enough to see over 40 times the moon's surface area in one exposure. That means the Rubin Observatory can photograph 4,000 times the area of the sky that Hubble can in a single image. That's part of what makes it so special. Let's take another look at the Rubin mosaic image. Not only does this wide field of view show the entire Lagoon Nebula, but we can also identify several other objects. At the top, you can spot a swarm of blue lights. This is an open star cluster known as Messier 21. Just below that, the pink and blue glow of the Trifid Nebula, also known as Messier 20, sits about 9,000 light-years away in the constellation Sagittarius, and can sometimes be spotted with small telescopes. Directly below that is another open star cluster known as Bochum 14, and towards the bottom center of the mosaic image is a tightly packed globular cluster known as NGC 6544, which is home to tens of thousands of stars. The sheer number of stars and galaxies visible in these images is staggering. And to think that, on the larger mosaic image, this globular cluster is just a tiny speck. And it's not just pretty images. The Rubin Observatory is already producing real scientific results. In just about 10 hours, the observatory was able to identify 2,104 asteroids in our solar system that had never been seen before, including 7 near-Earth asteroids, which, you'll be happy to hear, pose no threat to us. For comparison, about 20,000 new asteroids are identified every year through the combined effort of all other ground and space-based observatories. Rubin alone is expected to discover millions of new asteroids within its first 2 years of operation. It may also be our best tool yet for spotting interstellar visitors passing through the solar system, like Oumuamua, or 2i Borisov. Astronomers estimate that interstellar visitors like these pass through our inner solar system about once a year, but we've only recently gotten survey telescopes capable of spotting them, like the Pan-STARRS 1, and now the Rubin Observatory. And that's not all. The observatory also spotted 46 subtly pulsating stars, known as RR Lyrae stars, a type of ancient pulsating star that are often used to measure distance. Over the course of the survey, Rubin is expected to find up to 100,000 more of these stars, with some potentially stretching more than a million light years from Earth. By finding these stars, Rubin can help astronomers to map the outer reaches of our Milky Way and explore its structure. In the first year alone, Rubin will collect more optical data than all previous observatories combined. By the end of the survey, it's expected to generate around 500 petabytes, or 500,000 terabytes of data, containing billions of objects and trillions of measurements, a true goldmine for researchers. Once final testing is complete, the Rubin Observatory will repeatedly scan the southern sky, capturing fleeting cosmic events in real time while building a decade-long time-lapse of the universe. I don't know about you, but I am already blown away by these early images, and the real survey hasn't even started yet. I can't wait to see what comes next. If you like this video, there is another exciting telescope that has just begun work, Euclid. Check out its first light images here. And if you'd like, you can explore Rubin's images for yourself by visiting skyviewer.app. It's a lot of fun to zoom in on some of these images. I'd highly recommend it. Combing through 500 petabytes of data, hunting for rare cosmic events, is not for the faint of heart. It requires astute problem-solving skills and sharp critical thinking. But the good news is that these skills aren't just reserved for professional scientists. Anyone can learn them with the right approach. And that's what today's sponsor, Brilliant, helps you do. Brilliant is an online learning platform with thousands of interactive lessons in maths, science, data analysis, programming, and AI, all created by experts from Stanford, MIT, Microsoft, and Google. It gets you involved from the very beginning, then uses hands-on practice to actively build your understanding. No wonder it's 6 times more effective than passively watching lectures. They've also added a bunch of new courses, like Thinking in Code, or my favorite, Probability and Chance. Each lesson is short, engaging, and designed to make daily learning a habit so you can reach your goals faster. So why not give Brilliant a go? Scan my QR code or head to brilliant.org/astrum to get started for free. The link is in the description. You'll also get 20% off an annual premium subscription, which gives you unlimited daily access to everything on Brilliant. Thanks for watching. I was honestly blown away by the numbers of you that signed up to the Patreon. Like I said in the replies to your DMs on Patreon, everyone here at the Astrum team is so grateful to have such an amazing community. If you haven't joined the Patreon party yet, we're still on our long-term 1,000 patron member drive, so you can go to the link in the pinned comment to become a part of that effort. When you join, you'll be able to watch the whole video ad-free, see your name in the credits, and submit questions to our team. Meanwhile, click the link to this playlist for more Astrum content. I'll see you next time.